Good afternoon to you all and a very warm welcome to this Standing Committee on Community Safety in the Western Cape Provincial Parliament. My name is Mireille Wenger and I'll be chairing the Standing Committee. I think we should start with a round of introductions before I go through the agenda and the purpose of the meeting. So I'll ask the members if they would introduce themselves for the Hansard.
Thank you, Chair. Dalen Mitchell.
Thank you, Chairperson. Through the designer.
Thank you, Chair. Fallon Christians.
Then we warmly welcome the new Ombudsman, Mr. Brunt, and his team, who will be presenting on their annual report today. Mr. Brunt, if you'd introduce yourself and your team, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Madam Chair, and all the members of the Standing Committee. Good afternoon. I'm the new Ombudsman, or not new anymore, 3 months. I'm Johan Brandt, and then I'm going to allow my team to introduce themselves, starting from the left, from the right. Nadia is the head of office, so I'm going to ask Nadia first and then Dalen.
Morning, Madam Chair. I'm Nadia Arabi, the head of office.
Morning, Madam Chair. I'm Deirdre Foster and I'm responsible for communication.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Geraldine Isaacs and I'm the operations manager.
Morning. My name is Olawase Matua, investigator.
We also have representatives from the Department of Community Safety. If you'd introduce yourselves for the Hansard.
Good morning, thank you. My name is Diablo Staten. I'm representing the Department of Community Safety.
Hi, I'm Advocate
Davis
Akhan. I'm the Department of Community Safety.
We also welcome the Parliamentary Monitoring Group as well as members of the media and the public. If you'd like to introduce yourselves, please.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Aisha Ali Patel. I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good day. I'm Josh Chigami. I'm a researcher at Parliament.
Good afternoon. My name is Joseph Shaw. I'm here in my personal capacity.
Good afternoon. I'm Malarvani Nobin from the Dark Critical Testing.
Good afternoon.
Wonderful, thank you very much. Do we have any apologies?
No
apologies, okay. Honourable Kibido.
Just apology for Honourable Kibido. Okay.
The agenda for this afternoon's meeting is as follows. We will have a presentation by the Western Cape Provincial Ombudsman's Office on the annual report for 2017-18. And we will then have questions and answers following the presentation. We will then have the Cape Town Metropolitan Police Department before us presenting on their annual police plan for the upcoming year, followed by questions and answers. And then members, if there is a bit of time, we might deal with some of the minutes, adopting minutes that are outstanding. If not, we will hold that over to our meeting on the 27th, if that's in order. Right, so the context for this meeting, as I've mentioned, is the Police Ombudsman Annual Report, as well as the Cape Town Metropolitan Police Annual Police Plan. And we do this in terms of the Western Cape Community Safety Act, which requires the Ombudsman to table an annual report with this Parliament, as well as Section 21(4) of the Western Cape Community Safety Act, which requires the head of the municipal police to report to our provincial Parliament. So it's in terms of those two sections of the legislation that we are holding our meeting this morning. Members, as mentioned, Mr. Brandt is the relatively newly appointed ombudsman, and we extend our congratulations on behalf of this committee and wish you well in your endeavours. Thank you very much for having made yourself available this afternoon. We are aware that the safety conference is ongoing, and we've taken your time from that event to present to us, so we're grateful for that. Members, just a note that the forward of the previous ombudsman, but Mr. Brandt is able to answer questions. But if we would just bear that in mind as we do go through the annual report. Right then, without any further ado, Mr. Brandt, over to you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm going to ask that the other day we prepared a short presentation, which is basically a larger summary of the foreword, and then also from certain things that we've highlighted. So with your permission, I'm going to ask that Deirdre do the presentation, and then we will respond on any questions on the presentation.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. Just allow me a few minutes to go through the slides, and feel free to stop me at any point if I'm going too fast or if I'm speaking too softly. There were a number of issues that were raised in our foreword of our annual report, and one of it was the study conducted into the police reservists, and we were happy to say that on the 12th of November we handed over the report to Honourable Winger. Also, we raised an issue about the backlog at the forensic pathology services, which falls under the Department of Health, which is also a concern that Advocate Bikoli previously raised. And at this stage, the Ombudsman has decided that until we have a complaint form, we're not going to be doing anything about we're not going to be taking any of those issues forward until we have a complaint form from the Department of Health. Some of the quick wins, because we also raised the issue about staff shortages, and some of the quick wins which Mr. Brandt has implemented is that we received approval to appoint 2 Level 8 investigators on contract to assist with any of the 2016-17 backlog. Approval was obtained for the appointment of 2 legal interns, of which one started earlier in this month. Approval was obtained to loan an unfunded post on Level 9 from the Department of Community Safety, and that is just pending the outcome of the modernization process. And then finally, we've also looked at overtime to assist with some of the backlog issues, so we've gotten commission from the department to start with our overtime. Our current organizational structure looks like that, so it's slightly different from the one in your report, in that obviously the Ombudsman's the new face there. And then since we've published our annual report, there's just one post that's become vacant, which is our admin officer post. In terms of the performance environment, we referenced a study that was conducted by Professor Munting and Ms. Jean Redpath from UWC. And one of the points they highlighted was that 10 out of the 150 police stations which were in existence in 2015 were not represented in our data set. And by implication, that means that the coverage of the Western Cape was about 93%. And in order to focus on that, we decided at the commencement of the new financial year, which was in April this year, we're going to extend our communication footprint so that we cover more of the areas which the report highlighted. And so those are the new radio stations we approached to assist. And as you can see on your right-hand side, Heart covers the red area there. Umhlobo obviously covers most of the Western Cape and some of the other regions. Gateway FM, you're looking at that little area there at the bottom that's highlighted in green, as well as Eden and Overberg, which is the Afrikaans radio station. So we're hoping that in time to come we'll see the fruit of the advertising campaign having extended that way. In terms of the relationship between reported crime and the number of complaints we received, as well as the relationship between the reported crime and substantiated complaints, we feel that with ongoing community engagements, ongoing outreach endeavours, we will be able to pick up on any systemic issues and then also intervene when necessary. Some of the outreach we've done, you've seen what we've done in the previous financial year.
with from April until as of yesterday. This is some of the outreach and the meet and greets, obviously with Mr. Brandt being new, and some of the stakeholder engagements we've had so far since, well, from April already. That's our expenditure. It looks exactly the same in your report, in your copy of the report. So I don't know if you want me to go through that in more detail.
We'll go through section by section after the presentation. So I think this is nice, a nice overview. So just continue as you've prepared it.
Okay. So that's basically just an overview of our expenditure. And then complaints received per financial year from the very beginning in 2015 up until this year. This financial year we've received a total of 1,452 complaints, of which, and now you must just assist me, Nadia, with the statistics. So the finalized figure was in the annual report was 931, and the current figure is 1,163.
That's great.
And investigation at the end of the report was 518, and we've managed to finalize, well, we've brought that figure down to 289. That's currently under investigation. So the brackets is just the update since the report took us until March 2018.
Yeah, Madam Chair, if you can just go back, sorry, Deirdre, if you can go back. Actually, the biggest concern to me is still the 46 complaints that are standing for the 16-17 financial year, which we are planning to, the target date is set by the end of November. With the overtime that was approved to finalize that, and then in the next financial year at least to finalize the 243 outstanding complaints.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Moving on, the Domestic Violence Act matters in 15-16 financial year, we received 7. 16-17, we received a total of 8. And 17-18 financial year, 13 in total. Some additional information, complaints which were deemed to be frivolous and vexatious was one from the Grassy Park Police Station. We made 52 recommendations this year, this past financial year, and they were made in instances where the outcome of our investigation showed that there were inefficiencies on the part of staff, resulting in us being unable to resolve the complaint through mediation, or staff was unable to resolve the complaint through their internal processes. These recommendations vary as they are specific to the facts of each case. Substantiated complaints which were mediated by our office, 105. Substantiated complaints where SAPS initiated disciplinary action against their members, 71. The following stats are broken down. Is a breakdown of the investigations which were found to be substantiated during the 17-18 financial year. And then also, 50 complaints were substantiated with recommendations, and 2 complaints were found to be unsubstantiated. However, we felt that recommendations were required as well. That's the breakdown of the 52 which we speak about over here. The 52 at the bottom there, that's just a breakdown of the outcomes of those recommendations. And that's it.
Thank you very much. Members will then, with that overview, we'll then go through the annual report section by section. The first section then is, I don't suppose there are any questions on the table of contents. We'll then look at the forward, which is page 4 to 8, including the acronyms. Are there any questions then on the forward? Honourable Lacker?
Thank you, Chair. My first question is on page 5. Paragraph 4 from the bottom. It's also paragraph 4 from the top. I want to check, Chairperson, first, the radio adverts in areas like Khayelitsha, where most of the people are using radios Bonele. Has that radio station been visited? or rather, does the Office of the Ombudsman has a slot at Radio Zibonelo? The second one, Chairperson, is in relation to the acknowledgement by the Office of the Ombudsman that they could not reach the entire Western Cape. I would like to get an explanation what exactly was the cause of that, and in terms of the plan in action or the plan that is in place, how does the office going to involve its commitment going to other areas, the furthest in the Southern Cape, the furthest in West Coast, the furthest in the Karoo. I would like to get a quick presentation on how the office is going to reach out to those areas. On page 6, Chairperson. Page 6, I think it's bullet 2, 4, 6, 8. That's bullet 8. In respect to the arrangement by the Office of the Ombudsman as well as social development, do we have any low-hanging fruits there in that conversation that is taking place there? And the last one on the forward chair is in relation to the critical areas that the office needs to explore. What are those areas? Is there a study to that, and can we get an understanding exactly on those areas that were highlighted as critical? I'll pause there for now, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the members on the forward? If I may, then on page 5, it's noted that the attendance by investigating officers post-mortem examinations has seen sporadic improvements. What does that mean, sporadic improvement? And then over the page, on page 6, the issuance of directives in terms of Section 18.1 of the Community Safety Act to direct officers to appear before the Ombudsman. Was that directive successful, and were the documents then produced, if that information is available? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and I will allow me to respond first on the questions raised by Honourable Lekker. Honourable Lekker, that was my first question when I arrived in the office, because I'm from Khayelitsha. So I know that Radio Zibonelo is one of the areas that should be reached. We fortunately have a meeting next week with the KDF as well as with the SJC in Khayelitsha and Sanko to ensure that we also get to them, and then we will have a slot with Radio Zibonelo as well. So that is something that wasn't implemented. The radio stations that you saw there is the only ones where we had our outreach. So as from next week, we will start working on that. Before the end of this financial year, this will materialize. The question that you've raised, it why was the entire Western Cape not reached? You will see on the presentation there was outreach where the office went to Thembalethu specifically. That was the area, one of the areas that was highlighted, that there was no outreach and people were not aware actually of the Ombudsman's office. So there was outreach there. What we're currently busy with is a program to ensure that by the end of this financial year we will reach all the different areas. For the last couple of Saturdays we've been attending stakeholders engagements with the Department of Community Safety, and the Ombudsman is having a slot where I personally engage with communities to ensure that we have the proper awareness campaigns. Then that will answer your question on how do we plan to visit all the areas. Then on page 6, you've highlighted this, and I understand from Nadia that this was basically the ideas of Advocate Piccoli. What we subsequently did, Honorable Lekker, is that there was a basic, if you call them, courses given to the members of the Ombudsman and on the other side to the Xhosa speaking individuals, Afrikaans courses as well. So that's a basic course. So what we're currently busy is we're busy with procurement to ensure that we can have a more advanced course, which me myself would also like to do, because I've can also only speak basic Xhosa. So that is, as far as I know, the conversation between the department, the social development department is going. The head of office have indicated that was an idea, but we've taken it further to have an official course by a registered provider to ensure that we can implement the bullet as stated there. Madam Chair, your question, the first one was what do we mean by sporadic improvement of attendance in PMs? Now, when I was in SAPS, I can remember this was raised at one of the SAPS conferences, actually in Gaudini, where it was highlighted that the investigating officers doesn't attend the post-mortem report, and that's obviously one of the key elements that's necessary in the case flow system. What then subsequently happened is cluster commanders had to report regularly on the post-mortems attended. There was liaison between the provincial commissioner's office as well as cluster commanders. I think the advocate Piccoli referred to the plan in here, and that is what happened since then. So basically that happened. The reason perhaps that I need to highlight why I've decided that we're not going to focus on this as our, because it doesn't fall within our mandate to attend operational meetings and then also to ensure that this improves until we get a official letter from the Department of Health. I actually informed the HOD of the Department of Health also to please lodge a complaint, and then we will officially look at investigating the matter and give them a proper report on that. Then the implementation chairperson that you asked of the directives in terms of 18.1, I asked the same question to my colleagues, and there was nobody that appeared necessarily in front of the advocate or the ombudsman. It is the notices issued, but then because of the good cooperation that we currently receive from specifically only the South African Police Service, because in the last financial year we haven't focused that much on investigating any complaints of the Metro Police. So that's something that we will also now enhance. Previously, apparently, it was reserved, diverted to the Metro Police. So we will ensure that our meeting with the Chief next week, also to inform him that my office will obviously look at policing in the Metro Police as well.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions on page 8 and 9? We then move to the legislative and other mandates. Are there any questions on page 10 to 13? I assume so. Then we move on to the organizational environment, pages 14 to 16. Honorable Decker.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm looking at the organogram, and on page 15, where it is explained that one of the staff members has accepted a promotion elsewhere, and this is not new. In the report last year, there was also another investigator that left the office of the ombudsman, and it worries me. I want to check, Chairperson, what are the reasons for these people taking a promotion elsewhere? Does that mean there's no room for progression in your office? But also, I'm getting worried because you've got people who can't speak Xhosa, and in an event where a complainant is either Xhosa, Zulu, Sotho speaking. It means the complaint of that person will not be adequately addressed. And laying a complaint has got to do mostly with an emotional state of the complainant. And under normal circumstances, a complainant would feel very much comfortable to converse in a language that they use at home. So my question also in that would be, does the Office of the Ombudsman go out, head hunt for investigators who speak isiXhosa to accommodate all people who speak different languages? And for a lack of a better word, Western Cape has got 3 official languages. And therefore, I would have expected that the office would, if they cannot retain, if they cannot recruit Xhosa speaking persons, since it has already demonstrated here, what else can the department put in place, any systems that it can put in place to ensure that you retain Xhosa speaking people? And it's even worse because the investigator who left last year, the office had invested money on skills that were given to that investigator. So to me, we're wasting money because there are people trained and at the end of the day, those people are leaving the department. The second one, Chair, whilst I'm looking at the number of complaints that were said to have been reported at the Office of the Ombudsman, what is an investigator ratio on cases that you have at the moment, starting from the backlog to the new cases that have been reported? Is it from page 14 to
16?
To 16. The second one, also Chairperson, is rather a comment on the issue of the legal intents, including the contracted investigators or the intended contracted investigator. What are the terms and references in relation to the contract investigators that will be appointed? Two, in respect of the legal intents, is the department planning to keep those intents for a much longer term than a year? Then the last one, Chair, the very last paragraph, it says the current organogram does not offer a career path for the development of staff. This again, supporting my view earlier on, I wish to check if the department, or not the department, the Office of the Ombudsman, for a long-term strategy, what else is there? Is the organogram going to be reviewed so that there's that room for progression within its department? I thank you.
Honorable Diana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on page 15, I also want to add on this issue of people who have been appointed and resigned. Hence, I also seen there on page 16, Umis Peterson, she was shortly appointed and then she resigned. I think there's something wrong in that department. They must just share with us what are the reasons for those things. And then I'm coming on the issue of contract staff. As I'm sitting here, I'm just asking myself, these contract staff we are talking about, someone who have started at the 1st of April 2017 and now we are in November. Are these people going to be contract staff up until, or what is happening in the department? Do they have any plans to make those people permanent? Hence, also in the presentation, it was said they have appointed 2 level 8 investigators, but on contract position, and those people will check the backlogs. Are we saying that those people will assist with the backlogs, and then after the the backlogs, when they are done with the backlogs, the contract will be finished, or what are they saying to us? Can they share with us what is happening there with those people who are in contracts? Thank you.
Honourable questions?
Chair, just a very similar question. If they can just, and I know about the new level 8 investigations and so on, I just want to know the structure, the organigram, is it sufficient to deal with the workload that, you know, you won't have another backlog going forward? So they're going to employ these people, work that off, but is the structure sufficient to stay abreast with incoming cases? Thank you.
Any other questions on the section? No. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and honourable members. Honourable Lekker, I will again start with you. You raised the first question, does this office go out and headhunt for individuals that can speak Xhosa? We and perhaps I can also, honourable Christians, let's that with your question as well as by the honourable member on the level 8. The level 8 is something that we got approval for now, so there hasn't been appointment made yet. The purpose of the level 8 is, as I've also stated, that we want to address the 2017-18 complaints in the next financial year, not to have a backlog. So ideally it will be to headhunt people, Honourable Lekker, that you know that I have the necessary skills to investigate, because it will be on a contract basis. That's what the Act also says, is the Ombudsman should appoint individuals on a contract basis. Now obviously we don't want a backlog. So in the next financial year, when we present next year, we don't want to carry over complaints to the next financial year, because ideally you would like to do that. And then Honourable Lekker, it will obviously be that you need individuals that can speak Xhosa, because a lot of your complaints is coming from our Xhosa communities. But it is not that we can't be dealing with our Xhosa complainants, because part that you don't see on the organigram is that we have interns. We fortunately had a legal intern that started last week, which is Xhosa speaking, and that was the first one that we appointed now. But our other interns, the junior interns, are all able to speak Xhosa. They are also used at the front desk as well as with telephonic complaints. Then Mr. Matwa, he introduced himself as an investigator, but he's the senior, the supervisor of the investigators. And Zwelle is obviously Xhosa, and he's assisting the investigators also. To me, it's a concern, and I'm in agreement with what you're saying, because you can't serve a large number of the community, but then you have on the other side, you have more Afrikaans and English-speaking individuals. So it's something that we will obviously look at, and I'm in total agreement with headhunting. The contract investigators, the terms of employment is it will be for a 12-month fixed contract. Ideally, it would be somebody that is on retirement. You know, I'm thinking of an ex judge, an ex advocate, an ex investigator in SAPS, that can also bring that wealth of experience into the office of the investigators and then also take them there. Honourable Lekker, I'm in agreement that the more awareness we have, we won't be able to deal with all the complaints at one stage. That's why we've already had engagement with the OD on the modernization process. Unfortunately, the Ombudsman's office falls under the Department of Community Safety, and we are part of the modernization process in the department. So perhaps we can also request the assistance of this committee to ensure that the process can also be expedited. Because obviously we won't be able to deal with it at the end of the day. The legal interns, we had two posts also that was advertised. Unfortunately, because of the HR processes, we could only fill one of them. So the next one will also still be advertised. It is also, unfortunately, a 12-month process, or a 12-month contract. But also the personnel that you referred to here, as far as I understand, was also legal interns. And unfortunately, I mean, there's so much unemployment that when people get better opportunities, they leave. That's the reason why we want the modernization process. Fortunately, we have the level 9 that will be advertised, because all our investigators are unfortunately on level 8. So the next prospect for leave is to go to another investigative authority. Yeah, I think I've answered the one also on the level 8, honorable member, that the level 8 is not appointed yet, but it is something that still needs to come in the next financial year.
Thank you. We then move on to performance environment, page 17 to 19. If I could start on page 18, the study notes that, or highlights the relationship between reported crime and substantiated complaints, and a relationship between substantiated complaints and reported crime, specifically at Ocean View, Delft, Guguletu, Milnerton, and Lentekere. So what should one conclude from that? That either that citizens at those stations are better at reporting and making complaints, or whether service delivery is worse in general at those stations? Honourable Lekker?
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I did not receive a response on the ratio of the investigator per case. Then my first question on those pages is perhaps I need clarity on the turnaround time of the Office of the Ombudsman on cases that has been reported. Whilst we at that thing of the turnaround time also, I need to get an understanding. From the backlog that is there, what are the main reasons for the backlog that has been reported to us? Also, Chair, if you're looking at the 1, 2, 3. The one sentence on paragraph 3, page 19. Got it? I want to check in terms of the resources that are there in respect of analyzing the breakdown. Are there any lessons to learn, or what exactly were these positive or successes that were received? The last one, Chair, also, is the third paragraph from the bottom. Can we get a 2-minute briefing on this analysis? What exactly did the Office of the Ombudsman, what were the expectations after this analysis was done? I thank you, Chair.
Honourable Diana?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on page 21. Oh.
We're dealing with the performance environment, 17 to 19.
Okay.
Do you want to hold your question until we get there?
But I think I've got one question on the which was presented here. It says that 10 out of 150 police stations were not represented in the WCPO database. Mm-hmm. I just need a report on those 10 police stations.
Mm-hmm.
Which police stations is the Office of Ombudsman referring to? And what plans have they made? Have they met with those police stations, or what plans have they are in place to address that problem with those police stations? Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm going to ask Deirdre to respond on the marketing and the research, specifically Honourable Lekker and the Honourable Member about the 10 stations. Deirdre?
Honourable, thank you for your question. What I want to point out is that we've previously, on other occasions when we've reported to the committee and when we drafted our report, spoke about the need for an analyst. So now the department is going through a modernization process where we've raised those concerns, and it speaks directly to career pathing, it speaks directly to the capacity that Honourable Christian spoke about. So we're fully aware that there's a lot of things that we can do to improve our services. So that was just one of the issues. What happened then, stemming from the fact that we don't have a data analyst, was that at the time, Advocate Piccoli then commissioned the team from UWC to go through our statistics and to start looking at, you know, pick up the systemic issues that, so that is why we put it in our report. And that is where the outcomes came from, where we spoke about the relationship, for example, between the reported crime and the reported crime and our anyway, I lost my train of thought there. Coming back to the question at hand, let me just find myself again. So the purpose of commissioning the study was basically to enhance our service and to just find systemic issues that they could pick up. We needed an external set of eyes to do that. I think when you look at specifically the issues here on page 18, where they talk about the inferences that we can draw from my side, I must just say that the ongoing interaction between our offices and the CPS in the communities, our ongoing interaction between ourselves and the police as well. We're not stopping that. We're not changing it. We are doing it as and when we are allowed to and when the opportunity arises. Those are the only way we're going to be able to pick up, is it in fact systemic issues? Is it in fact a place where communities are in a better position to lodge their complaints or what the issues are? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honourable Lekker, on your first question, my apologies for not responding on that. But we, on average, since the inception of office, the investigators received 200 complaints per investigator. Currently on hand is 94 on average per investigator. That's the reason total. It's not the one that was presented in the report. The reason for the backlog can be various reasons. For instance, the reservist investigation, if I can bring that as an example, that was something that was requested from this committee October. Was it October? I think it was October last year. But we struggled to get reports from certain individuals, specifically, I think there was only one comment, or there was only one comment from a member of the public after there was invitations to comment on that. Also, getting the necessary documentation from other departments as well, where it's necessary. So that is basically, and then also, Madam Chair, I think we need to be honest with ourselves, that there's also performance management that we've implemented the last 3 months vigorously to ensure that we address the complaints without neglecting the complainant and to ensure that we can give a better service. Turnaround time, we've set ourselves into 3 months to investigate a complaint, which I think is fair, is 90 days to finalize a complaint. Hence, that's why I said also that in the next financial year, we will try and finalize complaints in a quarter. I will respond later, Madam Chair, on the recommendations made, if you will allow me.
Thank you. Members, we'll then do outreach, marketing, and stakeholder relations and expenditure together. So that's pages 20 to 26. Honourable Deanna, I'll start with you. think you had a question on 21.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my question was on page 21, the last paragraph. It says that they have extended, the office has extended their average from the existing 5 radio stations. These radio stations are highlighted. It's KFM, Namakwalan Radio, West Coast Valley, and Gamkelaan. Now my question is, why were these radio stations not have been part of this from the onset? What were the reasons for that? Because now it says that it has been added. And now on page 23, I see again this. I was saying that this 1.3 is the new cost, because these 5 radio stations have been added now, mm-hmm. and then that 1.3 will be added. It's the new cost for those because they are included here.
They're included there, ma'am. Sorry.
My question is, you said you have not worked with those radio stations, as I'm understanding. Because you said that you've now added those 5, ne? You have added it. But on page 23, there's 1.3 cost, which you have highlighted. Now I want to know what is the reason, what is happening here, so that I can be on touch with you. Thank you.
Then I'd like to ask on the underspend of the office. We're looking at about 24% underspend in total. I'd like to understand what will be done to address the underspend in the upcoming financial year, please. Honourable Mitchell, did you have a question? Did I see your hand? Was it? Yeah. Okay. Honourable Mitchell.
Thank you, Chair. I'm partly covered by Member Dijana, and if I remember correctly, we made a big thing. We tagged him in the previous year for Radio Gamkelaan. So I think that's probably also why Radio Gamkelaan did not add it. But Chair, with regards to the stakeholder engagement and marketing, so let me say we welcome the inclusion of Radio Gamkelaan. But from all these community and stakeholder engagements, with the exception of the Eden Cluster engagement, there's no, according to what has been in the annual report, there's no stakeholder engagement, community engagement in the Central Karoo. Now, the Central Karoo doesn't stop in Beaufort West. There's Nelspoort, and it actually ends in Maritzburg, which borders on 3 other provinces. So we must also, when you do that, just bear that in mind. And it's the same with Merweville, for example, that is off the N1, but that we don't leave any communities behind when we do this. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Lacker.
Page 27, Chairperson. Oh, not there. Okay.
Honourable Members, sorry, to answer your question on the advertising, the radio stations listed in black on page 21, so the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, those were, so on page 21, it's the bottom graph. Those were initially the radio stations that we approached. The reason for that was that at the time previously, it was about getting the word out, so it was more to do with the reach of the actual radio station. In the second year, we then focused, in fact, at the commencement of this financial year, we then focused on areas that were outlined. And if you turn over to page 22, you'll see I marked the map of the Western Cape. And there, Honourable Mitchell, I note that, for example, Maritzburg and those places, we saw when we did our initial radio campaign, if you plot the reach of the areas of the radio stations, those were the ones that we highlighted that we were missing out on, which is why we then added, during this financial year, the audience section, which was KFM, Namakwalan, West Coast Valley, and Gamkelaan. So the expenditure for the radio is for the previous financial year, and it includes the orange section. It was just to show the committee that we've added those because we saw that there was a problem with the reach. We identified that. So, and that's also to do with last year's meeting with the committee where you raised your concerns. So we did pick it up, and that was our way of addressing it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, on your question, I'm going to ask that Nadia will respond on the budget issue specifically, but I just need to highlight it's a major concern, and in this financial year, we need to remember that Advocate Pikoli left, so the gap in terms of compensation will be a major one in this current financial year. Hence the reason why we're looking at alternatives of contract appointments and to try and ensure that it still happens in this financial year, that we don't have this big deficit again. Obviously, it's something that we will focus on in the next financial year. Nadia?
Thank you. Madam Chair, although we aim not to underspend this financial year, I think it's important to bear in mind that categories like legal services that we have over the years budgeted for is one of the items that we do budget for because of the unpredictability of whether we would need to institute legal action against SAPS for non-compliance. So we have budgeted for it this year, but not as extensively as we did over the past financial years, bearing in mind that we never spent the money. So with that in mind, we cannot foresee what would happen, so we did factor it in, and we will obviously not be able to spend the money in the event that there isn't a reason to challenge SAPS for non-compliance. However, we have been shifting within our budget and trying to increase our marketing initiatives so that we can also promote our office more extensively and in that manner ensure that we don't have an underspend on goods and services either. Also, with the creation of the contract posts and the level 9 posts, we will need more IT equipment to be purchased, and that will cover some of the budget that we have as savings that will be used from our goods and services. As Mr. Brands pointed out, on the COE, unfortunately, with the resignation of Advocate Pikoli, and we've had another resignation recently, and the filling of those posts do take time, so we cannot undo the underspend on those aspects until those contract posts are advertised and filled. And we've also this year not factored in IT costs for upgrading our complaints management system because the department has indicated that they have a pool of funds should we require funds for that purpose. So in that way, we try to limit our underspend for the current financial year.
And then, Madam Chair, I think the question of Honourable Mitchell concerning the small Indiana places like Merrillville and those places, we have a meeting with the provincial CPF board next week on Thursday, where we exactly are going on this roadshow that you propose, and the provincial board chairperson is from Beaufort West. So we are having that engagement, and we will definitely roll it out.
Is
there
a follow-up,
Honourable
Dennis?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on page 26 on that IT equipment issue, the second bullet says, however, the posts were put on hold pending the modernization. And now, Mem said that the posts, they are not sure when are the posts going to be filled. I think the Office of the Ombudsman must give us a time frame for the posts. When are the posts going to be filled? Mm-hmm. Because we are here. And then next time in the financial year, so that we can tell them and say, you said last time you are going to fill the post on this month, but now it seems as if the same posts are not being filled. I think they must tell us the time frames of those filling of posts. Thank you.
So if I may, I understand that you're waiting for the modernization process from DOCS to be able to then fill the post. Mm-hmm. So perhaps what we should do is request from the department when the modernization process will be completed. And once we have that date, we'll then be able to ask the Ombudsman within what time frame they're intending to fill those posts. Yeah. Was that a follow-up, Honourable Latta? No. All right, then we'll move on to onto risk assessment and complaints and stats. So that's from page 27 to 56. Honourable Christians?
Thank you, Chair. Just the risk assessment at that page 27 also, goes through. The risk the Ombudsman may not have the required resources to enable to fulfill the implementation of the mandate
and there's contributing factors and impact. I just want to know, is this current, and is there any changes to this? Because I also see lack of cooperation with the communication with SAPS, and it says there's not an arrow there, but it says there are political and legal factors. If we can just hear what is that about, and this structure at the moment, is there improvement in this risk, or is this the current structure as is, Chair? Thank you.
Honourable Diana.
Thank you, Chairperson. In addition to this issue of risk, the one which says the lack of cooperation and communication by SAPS, I need more details, because on page 6, who advocate said that whilst I am happy with the cooperation and assistance I have received from SAPS, now I see it's contradicting. Let them explain to us what is happening when they are talking about lack of communication and cooperation. Which lack of communication are they talking about? Because on page 6, who advocate was not talking about the lack of communication. He was acknowledging the SAPS. I thank you.
Honourable Laka.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm on the impact, and that is point 3. Page 27. I think I need more clarity on that point indicated as number 3. On number 4, the increased workload on existing staff, what does that mean? From the report we've received, that the ratio per investigator is 94. Does that mean the investigators are not carrying 94 dockets but are carrying more, or it's something else that I do not understand? Can I get clarity on that? The second one, Chair, is in relation to the cases that were finalized out of the 1452 complaints received. 931 cases were finalized. What happened to the other remainder, that is the, what exactly, why do we have a backlog in that respect? Can we get a clear explanation on why there's existence of a backlog? And I think if there's a backlog, it necessarily means complainants will forever be wondering what happened to the complaints. Mm-hmm. Is there a strategy to inform complainants that their cases are receiving attention, and once they are finalized, they would be informed? Because in any event, for every complainant submitted, there must be a report given to the complainant. I thank you.
Thank you. From my side, under the complaints and stats, I'd like to understand how many recommendations were made to the SAPS based on the finalized investigations. And then on page 46, under Hout Bay, it says there are 13 complaints, but in the last financial year I personally submitted 26 complaints to the Ombudsman's Office. So I'd like to know what happened to the other complaints then that don't seem to appear in the table. Page 46. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Now, I've also engaged this report, and I raised the same questions, Honourable Christians, and I think Honourable Lema also raised the same question. On the one hand, we're saying we get good cooperation from the South African Police Service. On the other side, we identify it as a risk. And then I was told, but it might be that there's a change in management, and that might lead to that. So currently, since I'm in office, I must say that we're getting extremely good cooperation from the South African Police Service. And that will be my stance. I also can't see that this is a risk, and it won't be a risk in the next financial year. I think that was raised by all three the honourable members. The increased workload on the existing, honourable Lekker, The first one is the negative reputational damage to the office of the Ombudsman. I'm not sure why this was raised, and I don't know whether Nadia you can perhaps refer to this.
So the reason it was listed as an impact, if read with the risk, so the risk is the Ombudsman may not have the required resources, and that speaks to our staff complement, because we've always maintained that our staff complement is a skeleton staff, and we've said that since our first annual report, and we've through increments managed to increase our staff complement, but despite that we always of the view that we don't have a full staff complement and we're not going to be able to manage with the workload. And for us, an impact of that would be that it will cause negative reputational damage, which is very possible seeing as we do sit with a backlog as a result of not having enough investigators. And that's why it's an impact of the risk. And that speaks also to the increase in the workload of the existing staff, which will then also affect our reputational damage within the communities and our stakeholders. And the reason for the backlog, which was also one of the questions, was when we get resignations, that person that resigned left a ward of cases that needs to be reallocated amongst existing investigators, and then that increases their workload, and it's not always possible to meet within our time frame to finalize matters, and that's why the backlog gets created. And as you all did point out, there's been a number of resignations for higher posts because there's no growth progression within our office, which has been a concern since day one for Advocate Piccoli. And unfortunately, we are bound to wait on the modernization process so that our operational needs can be seen to, and hopefully ODE then supports the notion of our staff complement increasing, which will then limit the risk that's listed here and change the impact. So currently that's the situation, and I think the limited staff complement is clear in the fact that we do have a backlog, because it's not that the investigators are not trying their best, it's just that it's not manageable, seeing as it's quite a high number of cases per investigator.
Madam Chair, and then your questions. The first one, how many recommendations? It's in the report, it's stipulated also 52 recommendations that were made, and as far as I understand, in comparison with the previous financial years, this was the most recommendations that were made. Concerning your question on outbreak complaints, if you can allow me to go back and give you a written response on the question, because you've said that
Madam Chair, of the complaints we received in respect of the outbreak matters, there were only three of those complaints where complaint forms were submitted, despite us asking for complaint forms. There were six, and of the six, only three were registered as within our mandate. Off the cuff, I'm now saying that those that were not registered were merely complaints that they had, for example, they had to sit in their car in traffic because of roads being closed and so forth, which were not issues that fell within our mandate. And hence, the number of complaints for the year for Hout Bay was 13.
And the act says that any complaint from a member of the provincial legislature must be investigated. So how do you then marry the requirement from the legislation, which says that you must investigate, and then say, well, the person on whose behalf we submitted complaint didn't fill out the form? What if they want to remain anonymous? So how would you then manage that if the legislation empowers us to submit complaints on behalf of members of the public, which then is required to be looked into? But let's say that person doesn't want to submit their ID book to you or their copy of their ID. So what do we do in that case? And I think that's something that we'll need to look at in the legislation as members, because we can't have where the legislation makes a requirement, but then because of an administrative thing, the spirit of the legislation can't be fulfilled.
Madam Chair, I think that's something that the committee can look at, but the problem is that we can't have anonymous complaints. We will have to follow a process in addressing the complaint in terms of the minimum information security standards as well. where you need record of the complaints and to have actually a paper trial of that. So I'm also currently studying the Act and looking at ways and make proper possible proposals on changing that. But as far as I got it also is you need a complainant who must submit their ID document as well before we can continue with the complaint. But it's something that we will have to look at. And we will appreciate any recommendations from the committee as well.
Then are there any questions on the final section, highlights and the photos, 57 to the end? And then we'll see if there are any questions from the from members of the public on Vuleka.
Thank you, Chairperson. I need to check in terms of training and capacitating investigators within the Office of the Ombudsman. The issue of attending post-mortems as well as taking fingerprints. Can I get a direction whether the investigators are inducted, trained in that respect? The second one, Chair, in relation to the tracing of the next of kin of the deceased persons, what is exactly the mandate of the Office of the Ombudsman in terms of tracing? Is that the tracing is done by SAPS and reported to the Office of the Ombudsman? What exactly is happening there? Having asked that question, Chair, I want to move on to the first bullet, which says that SAPS Provincial Commissioner should provide information on impact of backlog and forensic laboratory. Has that been done? What led exactly to that? We also noted that some of the complaints that are reported to the Office of the Ombudsman are seem to be outside the mandate of the Office of the Ombudsman. Is the complainant therefore directed to a relevant department, or it's only the department that forwards that complaint to the various or relevant department for investigation? Now, in terms of the reflection of the positive contribution which this office has a mandate to a broader framework, has the office also looked at issues of capacitating its investigators in relation to crime scene investigation? What exactly is going on there? And what is the link between investigating complaints against members of the South African police and actually doing the actual investigation of the complaints itself? I thank you.
Are there any questions from members of the public at this stage? None. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honourable Lekker, the attending of the post-mortem reports and the taking of the fingerprints, you will recall that I said in the beginning that this is SAPS matters, where SAPS investigators, detectives, have to attend this. We didn't receive an official complaint on this matter from the Department of Health. Hence, we decided that we won't continue attending this meetings, because it doesn't fall within our mandate until we get a complaint then. So it refers to the SAPS investigators. The tracing of the next of kin of the deceased persons, obviously that is the same. That is the work of a detective, which should do that. Although it can have a major impact on estates, the finalization of estates, so it is a concern. And I've actually requested the head of the Department of Health to report this matter to us that we can officially investigate that. So even if it comes from the standing committee, it is something that we can then look at. The issue of the SAPS provincial commissioner that should provide information on the on the impact of the backlog. There was correspondence sent to the National Minister of Police as well as the National Minister of Health requesting that this be implemented, if I'm correct, Nadia. And we actually got the correspondence here that was sent where we requested that. In terms of the complainant directly to the correct department, I think Deirdre can allude more to this because she's handling the Ombudsman's email. But what I've gathered is that we get a lot of complaints concerning water and electricity. We get a lot of complaints concerning people being blacklisted on the credit bureau. So we direct them to the appropriate authority then to assist them. Concerning the issue of the capacitating to attend crime scene to investigators, which is also a SAPS function. Obviously, what we do regularly, last week, for instance, Mr. Matwa had a session with the investigators where myself and Nadia was present in giving our investigators just a sense of understanding what happens in the South African Police Service to make procedural recommendations also to the Provincial Commission.
Did you want to add on?
No.
All right. We thank you very much, Mr. Brunt, to you and your team for having answered our questions this afternoon, and thank you to the office for having prepared the annual report. We then conclude this part of the meeting, and then we will ask Chief LaRue, welcome. If you would then take the section, I believe you're most welcome to stay for the next presentation. And then we'll hear from Chief LaRue and Director Kitching, if he's here.
Thank you very much, ma'am, and honourable members.
Just for the record purposes, Chief LaRue, if you'd introduce yourself and your team.
Chair, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, honourable members. I'm Chief Wayne LaRue. I'm the Chief of the Cape Town Metro Police, and on my left-hand side is Director Kitching. He's also from the Cape Town Metro Police. Thank you.
Thank you. We will listen to your presentation on the annual police plan for the upcoming year. We'll then follow with questions and answers. So without further ado, please do continue.
Chair, thank you. You've received I'm glad to inform everyone, you've got a copy, the original copy, that on the 2018-19 annual police plan. In fact, we're already busy with our 2019-20 police plan. Halfway through that process already. Inside the plan, that's a very comprehensive plan. It's about close to about more than 50 pages. But we've also given everybody a copy of just an overview of the plan, and we welcome any questions afterwards. Director Kitchen will just run through the slides. And also inside the presentation, there's also the certificate that we received from the provincial commissioner, which is the requirement. He's quite happy that we're in adherence to what is expected from us as the Metro Police. And it's also very important to note that as the Metro Police, we are not a police agency just on our own. We play the supportive role, And as Metro Police, we got the mandate, the three force mandate, which is traffic enforcement, bylaw enforcement, and crime prevention. But as part of our roles and the responsibilities to the city of Cape Town and to the residents, we also play a force multiplier or a support to the South African Police Services when it comes to any type of operations. So I'll just hand over to Director Kitchen, and we'll just go through the slides, and we'll take questions as we go along. Thank you.
Thank you. In terms of the scope of the presentation, what we'll just be touching on is the mantle or the integrated and coordinated approach, the joint operations, the structure within the department, what this whole plan is basically focusing on, what are we focusing on, and there's a couple of things that the department are really looking or what the problems is and where they've expected Metro Police ultimately to deal with. As the Chief has indicated, we've got the three function, which is traffic enforcement, bylaw enforcement, as well as crime prevention in terms of Metro Police. So that's all included within this presentation. So the annual police plan on which you've got is within the department, the integrated and coordinated approach to policing is that within our department of safety and security, we adopt the integrated approach. We do not do things by ourselves. We involve all the different role players. As the Chief have indicated, especially towards crime prevention that we are doing with the South African Police Service, we are supporting them in terms of it, because within our mandate and within our legislative powers on that we cannot do any investigation, so we support them in crime prevention operations. We have to focus on traffic enforcement as well as bylaw enforcement, which is within our mandate, and we do it in a proactive manner to achieve our mission and the vision of within the city. So as within these operations, as indicated, the role players, South African Police Service, Provincial Traffic, Home Affairs, and then neighbour municipalities, these are just a few on who we ultimately use as or our stakeholders or role players that form part of our operations, and we do that in a joint fashion. The neighbour municipalities is, for argument's sake, we use an example like we've got on the N7, where our boundaries of the city of Cape Town stop. We would then engage with Swartland Municipality, and we'll have a joint roadblock of vehicles coming from their side and from our side. The same on the N1, we'll do that as an example. Within our departmental structure, you'll see we've got the Executive Director, which is Mr. Bosman, and then the Chief of Police. We've got different sections within Metro Police. We'll find on the left-hand side, you've got the Director for CCTV and Radio, which runs through or that actually operates all the CCTV cameras throughout the city, which is at one center. It's either at Cyclops or at the TMC that's being managed from that. And you've got Director Special Operations, where you've got all your specialized units, your gang and drug task team, your dogs, your horses, your tactical response that assists the African Police Service with dealing with protest actions. That is all in one basket. And then you've got your administrative positions, which is your manager support on your HR and finance. And then you've got your directors, which is central ops, which they actually report to a deputy chief for central operations. Because what has happened within the city, we divided the city is divided into four areas, north, east, south, and west. It has slightly changed with the new ODTP process of the city, but we're still operating on north, east, south, and west just to divide the area. And then you've got the four directors that's responsible to that. And then you've got civilian internal affairs, internal affairs, when we first deal with them, they deal with any misconduct or any complaints from wherever from outside of the city which the department deals with, which report directly to the chief. In our civilian affairs, which deals with our firearms, logistics within the department that has been dealt with that. And then also Director Information Management, and we'll touch on to that now, is responsible for all statistics within our department and within EPIC. And EPIC, I will give you feedback on EPIC later on. That's responsible for what's happening. And then our training and development, where we've got our own academy for Metro Police, but it also services other departments within the city, like traffic, law enforcement, and also external role players in terms of training. We are very much guided by our service delivery budget implementation plan of the city. We have to take in consideration, and those objectives that is outlined in the SDBIP is contained within the annual police plan. Some of the priorities which is identified also by SAPS, their policing priority is the illegal drugs, liquor, firearms, where we ultimately assist them with that, and also concentrating on the NRTA and bylaws. the method that we are, is that we allow for is a greater alignment with both the APP and the STPIP, and that is tabulated. We will see in the next indicator sheet where that, as I say, comes directly from the SDPIP. Like the first one, we need to at least have an 85 response by Metro Police to technology-driven activations, example CCTV shot spotter. So within the projects that it's within the city, it's being measured monthly, and which also compiles or then goes into annually. We need to respond onto that where the chief is held accountable, that we at least need to have an 85% response. Like we've got the shot spotter, and I'll go into that, Nana. When a shot goes off, it is expected that 85% of all the shots that has gone off, that Metro Police responsibility to attend to that. Yes, there is South African Police Services that also attend to that, or law enforcement, but in terms of the way Metro Police is measured, we've got a minimum of 85% to do that. The amount of crime prevention operations that's taking place within all areas, traffic orientated and bylaw operations. It's in a nutshell is how many operations are really taking place. It's just to measure is the amount of operations taking place in terms of the amount of complaints that's been received, and that can be measured. Protest actions, 80% response to an attendance of protest actions and contraventions of the Gatherings Act. Yes, this is a competency of the South African Police Services, where they've got the public order policing. We have got a team within the Metro Police that support the South African Police Public Order Policing Unit to deal with these things. Yes, the Crowd Management Act is quite clear in terms of what Metro Police can do. And as I say, we do not deal with crowd management by ourselves. We are purely there to support South African Police Services. And they have provided training for staff members to support them due to the amount and the increase of public violence that's taken place. So we're playing that supportive role. 85% of attendance within events within the city. There's a lot of events that take place. At least from Metro Police's side, we need to attend to 85% of all the events that's taking place, despite all the other stakeholders. Demands and expectations on our department is to reduce crime, improve safety, the rapid response to emergency calls, high visibility patrols, to assure community that we're there, reduce traffic accidents, infringements, and also just providing professional, efficient, transparent service, building relationships, adopting the Batubele principles, and enhance policing through technology. The priority crimes, as I indicated to you earlier, that we're looking or from the city side, is the alcohol and drug-related offences, and then also with the amount of illegal firearms, dangerous weapon, gang activities, with the amount of shooting, especially with the innocent people that get caught in crossfire, violent crimes, and also normal traffic offences. The way that the city is dealing with the drug and alcohol combating program is we support the South African Police Services. We share a lot of the information that we've got trying to fight alcohol and drugs. Even within the law enforcement fraternity, that as that extension of scope has been given to them to deal with liquor outlets, we play the supporting role to them as well. As contained in the IDP of the city, Safety and Security Directorate has stepped up its alcohol and drug enforcement by means of highly successful saturation operations that take place on these outlets throughout the city. As I've mentioned to you, specialized units, we've got tactical response that assists the public order policing at the march, pickets and strikes. We've got the canine and the equestrian unit. The canine is purely for detection. We have now, the city has embarked on training four dogs for trailing purposes, which will be able to find missing persons. There's been a request to the city. We are fortunate that these four dogs should be out by the end of November to assist with missing persons, as is a huge demand and request on the city to how we can assist with that. Equestrian units, high visibility patrols within CBDs, premises and vehicle searches by our dogs that detects narcotics as well as explosives. And we also provide that assistance to the South African Police Services, as well as the educational shows where we use the dogs and the horses to speak to kids about drugs and just general policing and build a trust relationship with them. Other units are camera response unit. They're responsible for all the CCTV camera responses where they do pick up that there's a smash and grab, or they will identify the staff members on them, they will respond to that. And the gang and drug task team, as I said, they majority of the time they focus on gang activities. They are also linked with our housing department, where they share information of illegal activities that's taking place within the council premises, and we are now supporting them gathering that information from what we find if we make an arrest, and then also getting information from the South African police services, providing it to them so that they can build a case docket and then take it through the legal processes. Another project we're running is the community policing or interactive policing program, where we have got the neighborhood safety team. The pilot area that we've run the neighborhood safety team is in Delft, where we've got permanent or dedicated staff members from Metro Police, Traffic and Law Enforcement that is only operating within the area of Delft. The city is looking at that, rolling that out to other areas, but as I say, the pilot project started within Delft. You've got all the schools, there is a law enforcement, two law enforcement officials that provide the assistance to kids. Also, if something is going wrong in terms of crime, they are there and they can engage with the staff members that's within the area doing normal enforcement, normal crime prevention, normal bylaw enforcement. EPIC, as I've indicated, the Emergency and Policing Incident Command, is a new system, or it's an incident management system that the city has embarked on all its enforcement agencies, as well as our fire, law enforcement and traffic. It's an effective incident call-taking system which you will be able to track if there, whatever, say there's an incident of somebody that is, or that is, as a crime has been committed, and they phone through to the control, and the control will be exactly able to see what vehicles are close to that vicinity, and they'll be able to dispatch that people. Or if they see on the map that that vehicle is already busy with a complaint, what is the other closest vehicle, and they'll be able to dispatch that vehicle. So it's just actually minimizing on trying to call on the radio what mobile is available. They'll be able to see what it is available and actually dispatch it to that person. That person will have to then accept it, and feedback will be given to them in immediate time, on a time frame. So it's very much a proactive and predictive policing strategy. ShotSpotter, we've still got ShotSpotter in Manenberg and Inova Park, which gives us the indication on what amount of shots has been fired. We know that there is no system at the moment, even with the African police services, that not everybody goes and reports when there's a shooting incident that has taken place. So this is an effective tool that allows us to plan our resources. What we have done is we can take it over a period of time, and we can actually see and plan around when is the majority of the time of the shots taking place, what is the street names. We can even go as further as much as actually tying it down to what gangs is operating within that area. The same information is also shared with the South African Police Service, and they've also got people or members, and even in the control room, that is also up to speed with ShotSpotter and gets the same notifications every time a shot goes off. There has been a couple of good arrests that's been made. Most recently, without actually finding the person with a firearm, there was an arrest made due to the camera CCTV footage that's also linked to ShotSpotter, and the person was found guilty on firing off his weapon in a municipal area, although not even having the firearm. So there's been good successes on that. Social crime prevention initiatives, we also do that within the department, is to focus on domestic violence, youth at risk, and how the Metro Police can tie into these programs. Thank you. And how they can share the information. Substance abuse, child safety, are just a couple of these projects that the department embarks on. Public relations, it encompasses communications with communities, also the perceptions and strategic relationships that we do build, which is important for us as the Metro Police Department. There's a lot of media relations and media placement that goes out when there's good successes, that information is shared. And then also network social media, and then lobbying. What needs to be understood is with these plans that goes out the department in terms of legislation, the plan that was done was 2018-2019, which is produced. We are now currently busy with the public participation process, where the advert needs to go out, and we need to give the communities and everybody out there within the city up until the 19th of January to comment or anything that they wish to add. From thereafter, it will be communications with the MECs, with CPFs, and then also with the Civilian Oversight Committee and councillors on what they would possibly see or what we could add into the annual police plan. But what needs to be understood is not each and every person's opinion can be added into the annual police plan. We are governed by drawing up a police plan based on the South African Police Services, because we are playing the supportive role to them. Once they approve the South African Police Service, as you'll see on the right-hand side, is a certificate that they issue. Only on the issue of that certificate does that give us the legislative powers in terms of what we're going to be performing for the upcoming year. So the advert is out. If there is a specific, or if there is somebody that would like to see the advert, I can show you. I've got it here. On that has gone out with the dates on providing information. So in a nutshell, let's say that's the old plan. It has been approved. We're busy with the new one. I don't know if there's any specific questions. I can take.
I just want to, before we take any questions, one of our challenges that we have is, I think, Honourable Lakia have raised before, with our CCTVs. You know, a lot of times that we have our CCTVs being, cables being dug up, or, you know, attempt to have these copper wires, or they think there's some type of copper wires that can be, used, and it affects numerous CCTVs along that line. So there's constant lookouts, and we work very closely with the South African police in order to prevent this type of unnecessary, where our CCTV networks is now, you know, sit, when we sit with downtime. So that is a challenge. And of course, the smash and grabs. It's no more along a certain corridor. There's a challenge along in a certain routes, people traveling to work in the morning. So there's constant messages that we use our media for people to be aware. Don't leave your laptop or your bag on your front seat, you know, lock it away, try and be more responsible. We have undercover operations in order to deal with it, and there's been some good successes along various corridors, especially when it comes to the AM and PM peak. So these are the little challenges that we have. So with the limited staff that we do have, and once again that we do play the, if we at any given stage, it might sound a lot of, if I tell you we have over 600-700 staff, that doesn't mean they are on duty at any given state. We work at a 12-hour shift system, so I've got 25% staff that's available, but we also do soft border approaches because of the need that's out there in order to make sure that there's safety is for the residents, obviously, and also for the staff, and we try and have a force multiplier with other internal stakeholders, which is the law enforcement, traffic, or the police. We also work very closely, and we touched on also other stakeholders. It's like Home Affairs when we have some joint operations, when they asked us, you know, to assist them, especially when it comes to operations from their side. So we are constantly being asked by the South African Police Services in order to assist them. We don't focus just in one particular area. We try and do the soft border approaches to, you know, to work right across. And also with the councillors, that's funds that's been issued. There are ward allocations that's been issued by councillors in order, and more CCTV. So we've got the freeway management system that's out in Goodwood. You've got the freeway management, we've got the CCTV components, which is in the residential and the CBD. So there's, you know, and we've got the response teams that they try and deal with it. We also work very closely with our neighbourhood safety, because we see the members of the public as the support. The neighbourhood safety, they play a very supporting role to us. And we welcome these type of support, especially when it comes to working a bit smarter in an environment. Thank you.
Thank you to you both for the presentation. Members, I'm sure there's some questions. Okay, I'll start with honourable questions, and then we'll move up towards this way.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few questions. I know that it was said that the Metro Police play a supporting role, and they're looking at crime prevention, traffic enforcement, and bylaw enforcement. With crime and being such a big issue with gangs and those type of things, don't they think they need to direct their attention more to crime prevention and assist with crime? We have provincial traffic and municipal traffic, and the same with law enforcement. I'm just thinking along those lines. I know they need to do all of that, but is there effort to do more when it comes to crime prevention? And then I just want to know, on the organogram I saw, the department structure, where is the office of General Robbie Roberts situated? He came to give us a presentation somehow. What is his function and role? Because I don't see him on that organogram. Okay, they can explain that. And then just the shot spotter. It was in the media not so long ago that 30 million rand was spent on the shot spotter, and that they had one or two arrests, and that that is money that can be redirected somewhere else. I'm just asking that because I saw that in the media. Thank you.
Honourable Lekka.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'll start exactly on slide 7 on CCTV. As well as shot spotters. I must say that with the CCTVs that has been put up on Swartklip Road, if you're looking at it, you can really confirm that it is very low. Which service provider can attend or develop a better CCTV? Because if you've got the little ones that are very naughty, they can throw a stone. It's very low, the ones that are directly in Mendeley. But also I want to check with the last presentation that we received, there was an indication that there's going to be other CCTV cameras put in other areas. Do you have the list of areas where the CCTV cameras will be put so that as and when we ask questions, we're better informed and we know where we've got CCTV cameras? But also, I need to get a kind of report that says which areas that do not have CCTV cameras and what is the plan between the Metro Police, the City of Cape Town and the ward councillors in different areas where CCTV cameras are much needed. The second question, Chair, is in relation to a mandate of the Metro Police, particularly by law enforcement. We live in communities. We live in the poorest communities, i.e. Philippi East, and of which the Metro Police office is a stone throw away. There's lots of traffic violations there. And you see a Metro Police van only putting on a siren just to move out of the traffic. Can't the Metro Police do more? Monitor Joe Gabi Road, monitor Lansdowne Road, monitor Terminus, or let me rather say Sithandathu Avenue. Because if you're looking at the taxis that are operating there, most of them are illegal. And just after 7 or 8 in the evening, if you get into one of those taxis, there's a likelihood that you would be robbed. What is the relationship between traffic or Metro Police or law enforcement and the activities that are taking place within those areas that I have highlighted? Going further to Luzuko, where you come from, Hindle Road, joining Lansdowne Road, what exactly is happening? Can those activities be linked to the plan that is there, because there's no activities that are taking place in those areas? We need to see more of the services rendered in those areas. Now, coming to also the priority crimes to be addressed. You know, this is a very interesting one, because from the presentation that we received is that the Metro Police supports the SAPS in those priority crimes to be addressed. And whilst the Metro Police agrees that it supports the SAPS, you would read the news or listen to the news and hear that the Metro Police has arrested. Is there a competition between the Metro Police and the SAPS whilst the Metro Police agrees that its operations is to support the SAPS? So I need to get an understanding. Coming to page 5, Chairperson, in respect to the shot spotter, which are in Menenberg and Hanover Park, those are gang areas. And if you're looking at Philippi East, if you're looking at Nyanga, those are meta capitals. And 90% of the murders committed in Philippi East and Nyanga are as a result of firearms. Now, what is the rationale of putting shot spotters linked to cameras only in the gang areas and not in the major capital? An ordinary person does not even understand the difference between gang areas and major capital. So why only there and not other areas? And with the period that the shot spotter has been in those other areas, by now, if it was a pilot project, it should have been extended to other areas. And when are we going to see this service given to other areas? And the last one, Chair, would be, how much does the city of Cape Town spend on a shot spotter, just a shot spotter? How much is that? And the tender of giving the tender that was given to a specific company probably to put in place the shot spotters, was it advertised and were the procurement processes followed in terms of identifying a company that will be rendering this service or installing this shot spotter? I thank you, Chair.
Then I just have a few questions. Under priority crimes to be addressed is crimes against women and children. Could we have a little bit more insight into what kind of activities are planned for the current year to try and address crimes against women and children? And then secondly, I'd like to ask about, you know, you did mention the relationship with the South African Police Service, but what about provincial traffic? Especially in light of the soft border approach, is there a good cooperation that you have with provincial traffic? And then finally, my understanding is that Metro Police can go as far as effecting an arrest, and then the case is handed over to the SAPS for investigation. So I'd like to ask, you know, what kind of feedback are you getting from the South African Police Service on the cases that you hand over to them to then conduct the investigation, as well as, you know, the kind of convictions and that kind of thing? If we could get a little bit more information on that, please. Honourable Diana?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think my colleague, Honourable Lekker, has raised all the questions which I have. But my other question is on the issue of CCTVs, because it seems as if the CCTVs have been controlled in the city of Cape Town. But now my question is on the issue of e-stations. Because last time we had the presentations, it was said that there are a lot of criminal activities which are happening in the stations, and then there are CCTVs which are not working. What are they doing with those problems of the stations in here in Cape Town Station? Because there are a lot of issues which are happening there, but the CCTVs are not functioning. It was said to us that there are CCTVs, but those CCTVs are not functioning. What are they doing with those areas which are not which have CCTVs but are not functioning? And then my last question is on the issue of high-risk areas. The high-risk, it says in 2018-29 performance indicators, the indicators, they are high-risk areas to improve safety. How are they going to improve the safety if there's a high risk? How are they going to manage that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. There's a very long list of questions. I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
I can start with the very first question. We spoke about crime prevention, the effort. Honourable Christians mentioned about our crime prevention. I would just want to place on the record that there's a lot of emphasis on crime prevention on, you know, our normal today, because as part of our availability and being a service that runs 24 hours, that's always available 24/7, there's always a reach out from public in order to deal with it. So there's a lot of emphasis, I can assure you, that on the crime prevention. And I'm not saying that because we have a threefold approach, we do traffic management and law enforcement management and, you know, leading up towards our festive season, but there is a greater emphasis on the crime prevention. But obviously that also plays the supportive role you know, when coming to dealing with these cordon and searches and things like that. I also want to place on record that Robbie Roberts is not Metro Police. I'm the chief of the Metro Police. He's in charge of traffic and law enforcement. It's completely different. He has no say over Metro Police. Okay. The shot spotter mentioned about 30 million and there's only one or two arrests. I can also assure you that there's been many arrests, there's been many successes of shot spotter over the financial year. I don't have the exact amount of arrests, but there's never been one arrest, and you know, with this innovation or this that's been installed, it's for that amount of money, there's only been one arrest so far. There's been a lot of confiscations. Director Kitchen leads a team of the drug task team. There's been a lot of drugs and firearms that's been confiscated in that particular area. That I'm talking about Hanover Park and Mannenberg. Daily there's information being passed over from various, information has been, whether it's a member of the public or just information that we gather. And most of the time there is positive results coming out of that one. I need to do a follow-up on the SWAT clip road, Honourable Member. You talk about the height of the camera. I'll speak to you maybe offline. You can just give me the exact location, or I'll find out exactly where is this camera along SWAT clip road, just to identify the company that installed the cameras, and if it's going to be at, you're right, I mean, if it's going to be a risk for us and it could be damaged, and we need to review the positioning of the camera. The list of the cameras are also that I'll do a follow-up, because councillors, there are funds that we normally, the city, you know, that will normally allocate for CCTV rollout. And then also there is cameras that has been installed at the local councillors from the areas that will maybe, you know, give funds from their award allocation when it comes to CCTV. I'll be able to get you the list, or I'll submit the report on the list of where for this financial year, where the award allocations will be put out, and including for maybe for the next financial year, so we'll be able to get a clear understanding of the CCTV. Metro Police, we are not in competition with the South African Police Service. I have said it before, and I will say it again, that we play the supportive role. We are not there to take the shine away from the police. They are ultimately, you know, the national police, and we play the support. In fact, we've got a very good relationship with the station commanders or commissioners at various stations. They contact us. Our members have a good working relationship. That's from the people on the ground right to senior management. So we are not in competition in order to take the shine away. When we do have successes, we acknowledge the successes, and it's good to acknowledge, because at least the people can see what is happening when it comes to firearms or drugs, because we all know crime affects the quality of life from everybody, you know, living in areas. We don't focus on any special areas. We focus on giving a service to the people of Cape Town. That's important. So it's not preferential to any affluent area. It's about going out and servicing or trying to assist the members of the public. Joe Garvey, you are aware that Joe Garvey has recently been done. There's been a complete... there's been challenges over the years. That's part of the Lands End Road, Wetton Road corridor. There's also been challenges where the construction company have left the site, and the machinery was standing for some time. There was some, you know, work challenges on that. The road has been recently upgraded, and constantly there is challenges with, you know, traffic management. We are doing point duty at the intersection where near to Joe Garvey at that traffic light. We work very closely with the South African Police Services, where they also assist, you know, with when it comes to traffic management and also the local traffic. And just touching on provincial traffic, they also, you know, do patrols in that area. They in fact sit in our control room, so there is a relationship with provincial traffic. And we also, they join us sometimes on when it comes to some operations and things like that. And like I mentioned, at our service center, they've got a control center there, and they've got two, three officers sitting there. So it's constantly, we call it the fishbowl, where there's all the services, the South African Police Services, the Neighborhood Watch. There's also a little, you know, there's people from the ambulance services sitting there, and there's information sharing. So if anything happens, it's about sharing information with all stakeholders. I think that's important. The relationship between traffic and law enforcement, we are not in competition with each other. We might work different hours, we might work, have different color uniform, but we fall under the Directorate of Safety and Security, and I think that's important. When we leading up now towards festive season and beyond, we render service right across when it comes to, you know, especially when it comes to the enforcement side. I think I touched on the competition between SAPS and Metro Police. There's nothing to that effect, and you can ask any station commissioner or any policeman on the ground. You can even ask Director Kitchen, or even Mr. Brandt that was here before. There is constant working relationship, and there's no I want to be better than you or you want to be better than me. It's about acknowledging each other. In fact, I received this morning a letter from him where the brigadier from the Manenberg police station acknowledged our staff for the good arrest and the work and the confiscation in Manenberg, and he gave our members a letter of commendation and thanks, you know, from the local station. And these are the type of things that we interact, we also acknowledge it. ShotSpotter, there was a process that was put in place, obviously, and there was a tender process that was put in place. We cannot just, you know, order things. Supply chain management is very, we have to adhere to the Municipal Finance Management Act, and there was a process that was running, up and running, and for this particular area, which was identified at the time. Decision was taken at the time, you know, to identify those two areas. The intention is to roll out to other areas where there is, you know, crime, and not only gangs and things like that, but there's also high crime in areas. So I am not in a position to give you which other areas has been decided, but that has been, now that the pilot project is now, you know, coming towards the end, other areas, and there's an outcry from the station commissioners, from the communities, because they've seen the return of investment of the ShotSpotter, and the police has also embraced this ShotSpotter because they see it as a working methodology in order to work smarter, so they'll be able to gather the information, and that's easier for planning. So I think the city will be rolling out, you know, the ShotSpotter to various areas. The tender and the funds that are available, that will obviously be part of when they do go out in that, and then they'll be setting out funds for those particular things. The investigating powers, Chair, we don't have the investigation powers. You're absolutely right. Once we arrest the person, we take him down, or him or she, to the person to the local police station, the person is handed over. But what the city is also embarked is, it's a relationship with provincial, where we have an oversight committee that monitors the arrest, especially when it comes to drug arrests, firearm arrests, or any type of arrest. So there's an oversight committee that monitors these type of things in order to see the turnaround of the conviction rate. So that is something that there's a working relationship between the department, you know, provincial department, and the city of Cape Town. The cameras, you say, not working at Cape Town station, inside the station. I don't know. We don't have cameras. We don't monitor cameras inside the police station. We're on the outer skirts. So if it's a problem inside, then obviously the South African Police Services need to deal with these type of thing. If it's outside in Peterkant Street or any surrounding areas, and has been brought to our attention, there is a response team that deals with these type of things. Sometimes it could just be maybe a challenge with the fiber or something, and then there is a team that goes out in order to deal with this. I know there is a camera on the corner of Beitekant Street near the Cape Town courts and that. The high-risk areas, this is something that there's no one particular area that's high-risk. We deal with priority as in order to render service. And when we do these type of high-risk, we look at the challenges. And, of course, that goes part of planning, working smarter. You hear me using that terminology quite often, because the days of policing and just going out and patrolling is long and forgotten. You need to sit down, you need to work, because the criminal activities constantly move on, and you need to gather information and do planning. And that is important when you interact with other stakeholders in order to see the time frames, what is happening, getting the information in order to do the operation more effectively. I don't know if there's anything else that we need to. I just spoke in general about, you know, the city. You want to just touch on?
Just over 100. Just for the last year, from the first for the 12-month period, there was just over 100 firearms that was confiscated alone by Metro Police in terms of crime prevention. If we look at the amount of ammunition was 1,421. As I say, yes, there has been a lot of focus, a lot of, with the shot spotter, there has been very much tied to that. And I think also with the shot spotter, like the chief has said, rolling out other municipalities has now also come on board where they also going to, and I think it's we're from the city side, they're trying to piggyback on it, where the shot spotter will actually following through procurement processes because of more people being interested in it and working within our municipality with other municipalities, it will actually reduce the cost of on what will be, have to be forfeited for the next round on when they want to introduce it.
Any questions outstanding? Because we've actually run out of time now. Was that a question that wasn't answered?
It depends on the CCT, when it comes to the tender. Once the tender goes out and the costing, ShotSpotter is a sensor that's been installed at various, it depends on the size, the demographic of the area, and then once that is worked out, then they work out the cost. I can't be able to give you a costing now because one area might need, 10, other areas might need 5, depending on the size of the area and the demographics and where that's going to be installed, then they work out the final cost, the tender, and then of course the tender specs goes out, and then companies, various companies will, as part of the supply chain management.
I think just to add on to what I think what the Honourable wants to know is how much it's costing us for staff members to be there. Is that the question? The thing is there is no extra cost. It's being done by staff members that is on duty. The only time that we do have is it depends on where we do find that there's an increase, then staff members will come in on overtime. So it's existing staff members that's been used within the department to actually take on the added responsibility responding to this while they're doing normal crime prevention duties within the area that will respond if a shot goes off in terms of that.
Thank you very much, Chief LaRue and Director Kitching. Thank you very much for the presentation and for having answered our questions today. Unfortunately, we've run out of time for this committee. Members, if I could ask your indulgence, if you could just remain for just an extra few minutes for us to do some recommendations from the two presentations. I know it's beyond and we've got other meetings to get to, but if you wouldn't mind, please, if we could just stay behind for just a few minutes to do that. Thank you very much to the members of the public that participated in the meeting today. There are some refreshments outside. Please do help yourselves. The committee will just stay behind for some of our internal deliberations. We'll just be a few minutes. Thank you very much again for your time. All right, members, recommendations. If I may, I'd like to, as a request for information, that we ask the Department of Community Safety for the timeline for the modernization process so we know how long that's going to take, because it is having an impact on the Ombudsman's office. Are there any other recommendations or requests for information on the two presentations? Honourable Christians?
If I can just, I want maybe a list on the money spent on the shot spotter and the arrest that came from that. Can you remember I asked that question?
so they couldn't give us the details. So I would want the amount spent and also the rest or whatever with that such part.
Okay. Honorable Lekker, did you have another?
Yes, sir. Mine would be, it's a kind of when the short spotter project will be enrolled to other areas, or rather, yes, enrolled to other areas that are crime ridden. And the second one, Chair, would be it's more of a concern, the visibility of law enforcement and traffic officers in Nyanga. Because for the past 2 years there's only been one big operation by the city of Cape Town, and that was somewhere in June. So it's critical that the taxis must be policed. They are not being policed, they've got a free ride. So the visibility is not there. Yes. Maybe if they can send a program so that we can see where they are.
Chair, if I can help with that one, because this is not Metro Police, but so they play a supporting role, and maybe we can just link it. Because law enforcement falls under, it's in the same directorate, but we don't have oversight over them. But if we can say that they're playing a support role, and what is the plan, they support the traffic and law enforcement in those areas with the operations. Maybe something linked like that.
And any other requests from the Ombudsman? Was it just the... Well, that's linked to the modernization, so they have to do the one before they can do the other. So I think that's important that we get that from DOCS as soon as possible. And then I think what we should do is, in that letter to the HOD, based on all those requests for information, if we can add today's one, and then just make the timeline to January.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, members. Just a note that we've finally got the confirmation from SAPS to present the SAPS Western Cape annual report. That's on the 27th. Of November. We did try and get it all done today, but unfortunately it just wasn't possible. Okay, thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.